Thank you. It's always fun to be back with the home team. Look at all your lovely smiling faces. I feel so warm and welcome here. It's just great to be here to share. Wow, what a subject, prayer, in half an hour. Fortunately, they're giving me an hour, but part two is in 2 weeks' time, so you'll have to come back for that. Just to let you know that part one, what we're looking at today, is mainly about our relationship with the Lord. And, well, it's all about our relationship with the Lord, but in 2 weeks' time we're going to be looking more specifically at intercession and praying about things and for things. So at the end of this morning saying, but she hasn't touched on that at all, there is more to come. So just to let you know, that's the way we're going. So, Andy, help me. It's lit up. What am I pointing at? There you go, we're there. So the first question, of course, to make it really simple, is what is prayer? So before I give you any answers, though there have been some hints at it so far through the meeting, why don't you just get with the person next to you, or in threes if that's more comfortable, or turn around, and just in like 2 minutes, just say to each other what you think prayer is. Go. I said you'd have 2 minutes. I hope you've managed to express something in that time. Let me just sum up for you a little bit of what my thoughts are on prayer. First of all, prayer, I'm sure you've all said this, is a two-way communication between God and his children. It isn't limited by words. It isn't limited by time, it isn't limited by place, but it is this touching of our whole being with the Spirit of God. It's leading us into this deepening relationship with the Father. It's a place where we open up our deepest heart, our deepest thoughts, our deepest emotions to him. And we allow God, this is amazing, isn't it, that he actually wants to come to us and he wants to release to us his heart, his thoughts and his emotions. Prayer is this place where love and power are released to us. They come from him to us. But it's also the place where we release love and power. It comes from him and through us. See if I can do it this time. Hooray! But you know, have you ever prayed and thought your prayers were just kind of going through the roof? You're just going through the motions of prayer, and it just seems to be a bit of a boring ritual, and nothing seems to be happening. That has so often been my experience. And I think it's because that when we come to pray, it's really important, I think, to have the first step. And the first step of prayer for me is recognizing that God is actually in the room. God is always, always with us. His presence is with us. Jesus himself said to us, "Surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age." He said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." That means that Jesus is actually here with us all the time. And of course, we also have this amazing mystery, haven't we, of we are in Christ and Christ is in us. So we carry within us the presence of Jesus. And we somehow in this amazing mystery are in Jesus himself. He's always in the room, but our part is to recognize him, to tune in. You know, I don't know much about radio waves and all these kind of things, but there's all sorts of things going through the ether all the time, aren't there, that we're totally unaware of. But when we have the right radio and we can collect that signal, we can tune into it, then we can hear. So recognizing the presence of God is, it's no lack on God's part, because we know his heart is to be with us and to be communicating to us. But the first part of prayer is to tune into him. So having a relationship with God in prayer is something we can do anywhere, because if God is always in the room, wherever we are, then, or always within us, wherever we are, it's something we can do all the time. It's not restricted to special times and special places. And this little phrase up here, practicing the presence of God, is the title of a book of writings which really helped me a lot when I was trying to first think through these things. And it's writings by a 17th century monk who was called Brother Lawrence. And his main assignment was to work in the busy monastery kitchen. So he would be busy doing all the hustle and bustle and the pots and pans and the washing up. And in this little book is this amazing revelation that he had, that God was in the kitchen with him and that he could communicate and worship and love and serve God in the midst of all that busyness. And I don't know if you're anything like me, but once my head gets all full of all the busyness of life and all the things that are going on, you sometimes find you can go hours and hours and hours and not even think about God at all. And yet this little monk said that he had learned to practice the presence of God. And I really like that word practice, because it shows that it's something we can actually grow and develop in. It's not like, oh, I don't do that. Full stop. It's actually something that throughout all our life, we can be growing, we can practice. There is something we can do to learn increasingly how to enjoy the presence of God. And when we experience, when we think about God in the room, because we know that the Lord is so amazingly multifaceted. He's got so many names. He's got so many attributes to his character. And he comes to us and reveals himself to us in the way that is just right for us at that time. So he can come to us when we need him as Father. He comes to us and reveals himself as Saviour. He comes and he reveals himself as Shepherd, or as warrior, or as friend, or comforter. And I'm amazed at the times when I have thought I have needed to meet God as, say, comforter, and he comes to me as warrior. And it's like, actually, you think you need this, but this is who I am. You need to see me as warrior, because then what will rise up within you is that a reflection of who God is, and hope that the battle is not lost, but that I am on your side and I am the Lord of hosts. And I, you know what I mean? So sometimes we can get stuck in thinking, oh yeah, I only know that aspect of God, but actually he wants to come and reveal himself to us in prayer in all these different ways. Because he's always with us, he's always coming to us in the way that is just right for us. Our part is to refocus our minds and senses and recognize his presence. Now, we know that God is invisible, so that's not a terribly good start. You know, we go and we think, well, we can't actually see you. There's not many people who have actually seen visibly. Some have visions of the presence of God. There's not many who have actually heard the audible voice of God. So we think, well, if we can't feel him with our senses, how can we constantly recognize? If those feelings only occasionally get triggered, does that mean God is only occasionally with us? No, because actually we live from our spirits, and our spirit is in constant touch with this God. So some of our learning to recognize the presence of God is through recognizing having our spirit tuned into God's spirit. And you know, when we come at it, if we come at it from our spirit being connected with God's spirit, if we come to prayer in that way, often we then find that we do find our senses actually touched and stirred. It's not our starting point. Our starting point is our spiritual relationship with the Lord. But we often can find that we do, the feelings follow, the sense of his presence, his touch. Some people have picked up the fragrance of Christ, actually smelling a beautiful fragrance. People are hearing his voice, seeing him. Visions and dreams are released. But it is coming from that constant communication from our spirit, and our senses come into line with that. So I'd like us just to take just a couple of moments of quiet. Now, you should have a bit of a card that is on, just a piece of card on your chair. We don't always give everybody kind of homework and writing assignments. We just seem to have a couple this morning. If you have a pen, we're just going to take a couple of minutes of quiet, and we're going to think and focus in on where is God for you now. God is in the room. God is in us. So quietly, we're just going to focus. If it helps to close your eyes, the card is for you to write down what the Lord brings to you. So I'll prompt you to do that in a moment. So we're just going to be still. Jesus is here. He's in the room. Just allow your spirit to make that connection with him. Say, where is God for you now? Is he above you? Below you? Is he to the right or to the left? Is he around you? Within you? And if you're not sure, then where would you like him to be? And how is he coming to you? What do you need him to be? Is he coming as Father? Is he coming as shepherd? Is he coming as comforter, friend, warrior? And what is that like for you? When he shows himself in that way. If you want to write down how the Lord has come to you and what that's like for you. Okay. You see, when we come to God in prayer, it is really, really important when we think, well, what is God like? What do we think God is like? What is our image of him? Because that will really affect our desire to know him, to allow him close, and it will also affect our prayers. Now, I used to look really good praying. I used to be very, very good. I could do all the kind of standing up in public and doing the really big, long, strong, powerful prayers. I used to have prayer lists and prayer books and could pray with people, and I'd read lots of books on prayer. And I used to say, no, all this contemplative, silent, still prayer, that's not for me. I'm an extrovert. I like to be out there praying with other people. But do you know what was really going on in me? Was that I actually was afraid of silent prayer and stillness. And the reason I was afraid, because I wasn't sure what would happen if I stilled my busyness and got with God. And the reason was because I was still not sure what would happen in that place. I wasn't sure if all my pain and my hurt and my frustrations, I might have to face up to them and they might come pouring out. And I wasn't absolutely certain that God was good and what he would do with me in that place. In fact, I think I was afraid that either he wouldn't show up, and then that would be really rubbish, or that he would tell me off, because there was always something that I deserved to be told off for. Because in my head, somehow, I still had that God was a punisher and that he would judge me. So I actually could do all the public praying and look great, but I didn't like the private place. It was too frightening. And you know, God has done so much in me in the last 10 years of just bringing to me this incredible revelation that God is good. And God is always in a good mood with us. And even if we have a load of rubbish and hurt and pain going in our heart, he is so gentle and not judgmental, because the cross has taken away judgment. And Jesus taught us, didn't he? When the disciples said, teach us to pray, he said, pray our Father. And that is absolutely the key to our having this personal relationship with God in prayer, that we approach him as our Father. And he's a Father. John 3 verse 1 says that he lavishes his love on us. So whenever we are with him in prayer, he is lavishing all the time. I love that word, lavish. He is lavishing, lavishing, lavishing over us all the time his incredible love. And Matthew 7:11 says that he is a father who loves to give his children good gifts when they ask him. So we can come boldly. We're told to come boldly in Hebrews 4 with confidence to the throne of grace. He wants us to come to him. He wants us to ask. He wants to give us good gifts. And while he's doing it all, he's in a good mood. So I love the quiet place. I love the stillness now where I can go away and be with my Father. There is so much to be thankful for in the nature of God and who he is towards us and his incredible love. There is so much to be thankful for the good gifts that he's given us. So I'd just like you to take your card again. I'd just like you to write down on your card three things that you are really thankful to God for, because he is good. Three things where he has been good to you. It may be by loving you, it may be in his nature, or it may be practical things that he has given to you that you want to thank him for. So just write down three things. Might be his faithfulness, might be a new job, might be the film Despicable Me 2. Whatever it is that has brought you joy from the Father. Okay, then I'd just like you to turn again to the person next to you in twos or threes. And what we're going to do is we're just going to thank God for these things. So just, it can be really, really simple prayers. It doesn't have to be clever prayers. Just thank you, Father, for blah, blah, blah. So if you want to just get together and just think about Jesus being with you, think about the Father, think about the Holy Spirit. And if you are a not yet believer, therefore you don't want to pray when you're not sure whether you believe, then just say, I am thankful for, and we believe God will hear that and understands where your heart is coming from. Okay. Okay, thank you everybody. I hope a little bit of joy has risen in your heart over that. So let's keep coming close to the Lord. Let's keep asking him and let's keep on thanking him. You see, it's a real relationship. And you know, in real relationships, there's not just one way that we communicate all the time. That's not what I would call a relationship. A real relationship has all sorts of different facets of communication, doesn't it? Let's keep it real. So it includes all different sorts of ways of communicating with God. First of all, use normal language. There's no need to use flowery religious language, half of which we don't really understand at times. Be honest. He knows our hearts anyway. We can't shock him. So if you're angry and fed up, say to him, Lord, I'm angry and I'm fed up. You know, we don't have to couch it in religious terms. Sometimes when we're praying, we will give loud shouts of excitement. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music, says Psalm 98. Sometimes we're spontaneous and heartfelt. Burst into songs of joy together, you ruins of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. Be honest about pain and anger. Psalm 88, from my youth I have suffered and been close to death. I have borne your terrors and am in despair. There are not right and wrong prayers to pray. It is what is in your heart. It's good to use words of scripture. There's some fantastic prayers, especially at the beginning of the book of Ephesians. Look at those and use them over yourself and over other people. Use liturgical prayers. There have been these amazing saints of old who have encountered God for centuries and centuries, who have something so amazing to give us in the prayers that they have written down. If that is echoing what is in your heart, use liturgical prayers. Use old hymns, my old Methodist hymn book. Sometimes that is the place I need to go when I've run out of words. And sometimes I need to pray, guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. Thou art great, or whatever it is, and I am whatever. See, I've forgotten already. But do you know, use these old hymns. Oh, love that wilt not let me go. I hide my weary soul in thee. Sometimes that is what our heart is crying, but sometimes our present language is too weak. And so we can use these things, can't we? We touch into what the saints of old have cried out to God. Use art. Thankfully, the Lord understands my art, which hasn't improved since the age of five. So, but the Lord understands, just like a child brings home a painting and you know what you say, don't you? You don't say, that's a lovely boat. And they say, actually, that's a picture of Granny. You say, tell me about your painting. Now, God knows if we've drawn a picture of Granny that looks like a boat. He knows it's Granny. So we can draw to him. We can dance to him. We can write to him. We can write love letters to him. We can write our own psalms. We can send him emails. Do you know, we need to just get out of the one way. There's only one way of communicating. Don't you know his email address? Try Janet River Church. Love to hear them. Be noisy. I mean, in the old days, we used to talk about our times alone with the Lord to be quiet times. Let's have noisy times with the Lord. But also, let's learn to be silent. Let's learn, because this is a real relationship. This is a real relationship. So he's with us all the time. We're talking to him and he's talking with us all the time, wherever we are. But it is good to set aside time alone with him, because this is where we develop intimacy. Jesus said, when you pray, go into your room, close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. I like it that it said he is unseen. Because that actually releases us from a sense that we have to see everything to be able to pray. That we have to kind of understand it and get it and be in a good place and it's all right there. Our Father is unseen. But it is also this unseen realm that we are meeting with. So we are meeting with something that is very real, even though it is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret. So he sees. And he sees what is done in secret, because what is done in secret in prayer doesn't get the acclaim of man. I can stand up here in front of everybody and pray fantastic prayers and you all go, wow, look at Jan, she's a fantastic prayer. And I think, yes, I am. It was a good prayer. And that's all right, because God likes us to be pleased with what we've done. But what we do in that silent prayer, we talk about authenticity of heart and integrity, because we're not doing it so that man can applaud us. We're not doing it so someone else will say, oh, what a very spiritual person Jan is. Because nobody sees or knows, but the Father sees and knows. And the rest of that verse says, then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. He will reward you. So when we go into the secret place, we put off all wanting all the acclaim of man and everything that goes with that. He is coming to reward us. He's coming to add to us. We will come out of that special closet with the Lord, that special secret place with him, richer, fuller, because God has given to us. And finding the time, the right time to be with him. Well, Jesus, he went out early to pray, very early in the morning while it was still dark. Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Jesus needed to get up early and go and be with the Father and pray. And sometimes he got up all night. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray, and he spent the night praying to God. So just that question is, do we have a special time or a special place alone with God? It's not the only place we meet with him, because he's with us all the time. But do we have a time that we know fits really well with us? Some people are really, really rubbish in the morning, and some people are really, really rubbish at night. Some people find, you know, it's that coffee break where you just sit down and some of the jobs are done. Some people find it's the drive to work is their special place where they can meet with God. So do we have a special time and place alone with God? And if not, maybe it's worth talking to him about that and saying, how can this work for us in this season? Because it is seasonal, because obviously if you're at home with children, if you're out at work, you know, if you've got a house full of guests all running around, you know, if you can walk out with the dog or you can do whatever, it's going to be different for us at different seasons. But what is it the Lord is calling us to right now? And if you're prompted with anything, maybe you can write it down so you'll remember when you take it home. Now, this place of quiet with the Lord, it's also a place where we can be listening to him. I've talked about it being a two-way communication, isn't it, with the Lord? And John 10 says, my sheep, listen to my voice. So that's quite an active thing that the sheep do. My sheep, listen. It's not just they hear, but my sheep, listen. So just as we talked about practicing the presence, which is something we actively can do. So listening is an active thing that we do. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I know them. You see, the shepherd knows how we can hear. He knows the way that is just right for us to hear. And just as he reveals himself to us in different ways, so he will communicate with us in different ways. But it is the absolute right way for us at that time. Now, when I sort of really didn't think very much about myself, have a quick drink and a pause there, I used to panic. And I used to say things like, I never hear God. Certainly I used to say, I never hear God like other people hear him. And would feel really rather rubbish about myself, because it seemed that all these other Christians who would say, God told me this and God told me that and God spoke to me about this and God spoke to me about that. And inwardly I'd be going, doesn't speak to me like that. What's wrong with me? But first of all, as I said before, I had to sort out, did I actually want to hear from this God? Because I had so many defense mechanisms up because I didn't realize he was good that made it quite difficult. I didn't really want to hear from him. So once I'd sorted that out and I realized that actually God knows me and Jesus is the word that God sent and the word can't stop talking. So Jesus as the word is communicating all the time to us. He can't help it because he is the word that the Father has sent to us. And because he's always communicating with us and because he knows us, he knows what is the right way, the perfect, appropriate way for me to hear him. And That can be through reading the scriptures. That can be through listening to sermons. That can be through the worship music. But what I have discovered about Father, he is so creative. Funny that, isn't it? That God is really creative, that he loves this world, he's in everything, which means he comes and speaks to me through movies, like The Lion King. Well, most movies, really. He comes and speaks to me through books, through nature, through dogs, through children laughing, through everything we see and feel and hear. God, because he's always speaking, has something to communicate. And he will do it in the right way. And while we've been doing this writing on cards and what is God saying to you, you may kind of like, this doesn't work for me. I don't really do this. But you may be driving home and you see a cloud that's in a funny shape and, there it is. God has spoken to you through the shape of a cloud or the wind in the trees or a little child's laughter. You see, God is wanting to speak to us, but are we listening? Are we listening? And I tell you, once you shift that mindset, life becomes such fun. Because he is so wanting to point things out to us. Just like a father does with a small child. It's like, look at this frog hopping around. You know, pick it up. Look at this. Look at that. Have you seen that? Have you seen that eagle flying in the trees? That red kite around here? You know, when we go out as children with our fathers on walks, all the time it's pointing out all these great things to see. And that is what Father is like with us. Everywhere we go, he starts pointing out things that reveal himself to us. So we're just going to take a minute, just 1 minute, that's not very long. And we're going to be really still, and we're going to listen. And we're just going to ask Father, Jesus, or the Holy Spirit to drop something into our minds or our hearts that he wants to say to us or show us or tell us. What does he want to show you, or tell you, or give you? Again, you can write it down. Maybe a verse of scripture, maybe a line of a song, may just be an image or picture, maybe a feeling. What's going through your head? Don't try and analyze it, make it spiritual. This is your dad. Okay, as I say, if nothing much came into your mind, it's something we practice. And as I say, you may find going home or later on in the day, something suddenly clicks for you and you go, actually, that was God communicating something to me. Rhythms of prayer. Do you know, there are various useful tools that help us in this whole realm of practicing the presence and prayer. I'm not going to go into them in great detail, but just to say these include some people like to start the day by reviewing the day that is ahead. So they like to get up and they just go through the day and what is to come, but they do it with the Lord. So that everything that is coming up is done within a context that he's actually going to be there. He actually is going to help you. He's actually going to be faithful in it. He's actually going to be rejoicing in it with you. So some people like to set that as a tool to use at the beginning of the day, is looking through the day with God. Some people like to review their day with God in the evening. So before they go to bed at night, they just go through what has happened to them during the day. The things that have blessed them, the things that have been difficult. Maybe the things that they know where they've responded not well in their own heart to somebody, words spoken that they wish they hadn't. And it's just a lovely way of just making sure everything is clear and clean. A place of thanksgiving at the end of the day. The kind of some people have scorned the practice of saying grace at meals, and we don't want it to become a kind of religious ritual. But actually, it's been a really useful practice for Christians throughout the ages. Just that moment where you stop in your days before meals and say thank you to God and just remember his presence with you. These are little things that just focus us back in on the Lord. I know that all over the nation, there are thousands and thousands of people who have made a commitment to pray the Lord's Prayer at 12 noon every day. And so they set their watches and they that just beep, or their computers or whatever, that just reminds them at 12 o'clock. So every day at 12 o'clock, there is this vast number of people across our nation who are praying the Lord's Prayer together. So they're also, sometimes it's what prompt? Is it a little sticker you put on the mirror so when you're cleaning your teeth in the morning, you just remember that God is there with you? Whatever works for us, sometimes we just need to put those into place, and they can be really, really fun things as well. Move that on, Andy. And here's just something that many people have used as a tool, again, throughout the ages, is this ACTS, it says, which consists of adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Adoration is worship and praise of who God is. Confession is how things really are with us. Thanksgiving for all the goodness of God, and supplication is bringing our requests to the Lord. And again, some people find that a really useful balance in their prayer life of all those different things. But what is really important is that it's actually about relationship, and these tools are only to help you. So it may just be worth thinking, what could help me grow in developing a balanced prayer life where I am practicing the presence of God and enjoying relationship with him? Prayer is this fantastic adventure. You know, if we get bored of prayer, then we're not really meeting with God, because actually there is nothing boring about God. There is always vast new realms of things for us to explore in him. But, you know, sometimes it can be difficult, and sometimes it can be easy. And sometimes it seems like the heavens are open and you're almost touching God. You know, he's so close. And there's other times when, let's be honest, it can seem as if it's all a bit blank. But that is all part of our journey. It's all part of our discovering. And sometimes we need to persevere by faith in developing and continuing in our prayer life. But always remember, it's about relationship.